That. So let's grab our Bibles, and Lord willing, by God's grace, we will wrap up this lesson tonight. So go into Proverbs chapter 6, chapter 7 is where we're heading. We started on the front side of the notes. Remember, the warning here comes both in verses 20 to 24, or the instructions, maybe I should put it that way, come in verses 20 to 24 and then verses 1 through 5. And there's a direct correlation between parental instruction, teaching, training, and the protection of the children from wickedness, from the wicked woman, as it's described here, both at the end of chapter 6 and throughout chapter 7. And so it behooves us as parents, we've got some, maybe Lord willing, one day would be parents, all right, but they're sons, there you go, listen to your mom and dad, okay, that's great. It behooves us as parents to make sure that we're doing our part right in being God's instrument of instruction and training in the lives of our children, even grandchildren. So just real quick, I'll fill in the blanks real quick for points number 1, 2, and 3, which we've already discussed, but maybe you're here for the first time, grab those. Parental instruction needs to include commands and directions. It's really important that the children learn to obey, even teenagers and adult children, right? Obedience is important. Number two, parental instruction needs to be continual and intimate, or we use the word cherished as well there. It happens all the time. You just relegate it to a moment or two or when it's convenient. Too many parents parent only when it's convenient, and then they use it only for their own convenience, so that they're not embarrassed, they're not ashamed, and that's wrong motivation, wrong timing. Point number three, parental instruction needs to be practical, realistic, and applicable to everyday life. Wisdom, as it says there in verse 22, should be able to lead the children, and it should be around them at every stage of life, at every moment of life. The timing is now. Teach in every teachable moment, whenever those teachable moments may happen. Okay, so now we flip over on the backside. We'll, Lord willing, cover these next three points this evening. Verse 23, let me read that verse again. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. That is, by the way, on our, that's one of our memory verses, reminder verses, all right, for this week. So that'll be good. Point number four is this. Parental instruction needs to be enlightening and purposeful. Enlightening and purposeful. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. I hope that you've experienced, I'm talking about adults here for a minute, and parents, I hope that you've come to a place in your spiritual life where as you look back, you realize, oh, as you know God's word and imbibe it in your heart and life, it's like the light turns on. It often can happen in those very early years of 20s when you are physiologically finally fully developed, all right? And then you start making connections, and then the Spirit of God takes a hold of you, and as you're in God's word and it starts, you're starting to make connections theologically with the truth that you're reading, the examples that you're finding in Scripture, and how to make right application to your life. And it's like there's this light that turns on, and you realize, oh, that's how you're supposed to do it. A lot of the reason that the light turns on is because parents have done their due diligence in providing right instruction to their children. The command, there it is again, we talked about already, the command is a lamp. The mother's law gives light. So the instructions for us as parents, a couple things. Make sure that when you are parenting your children, as they mature, you've got to provide biblical reason for why you're giving them that instruction. It's not satisfactory just to say, because I said so. There is a point at which we say, well, aren't they just supposed to obey because I'm the parent, they're the child? Yes, but there comes a point when you say, because I said so, the child is old enough to realize that self sounds very self-centered. I'm just doing this because mom or dad want me to. And as soon as I can get out from under that, I'm free. And I'll rebel. So what's the counter to that? Should they, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right? Absolutely. But you harp on that too long, and there's not a biblical reason for the command and the law that's given. You're not reaching their heart. You're not providing the light that will come on and say, that's why this is good. These commands actually are good for me. This law is right for me. Gary and I were just talking in prayer time. He's helping his grandson, and his grandson's faced some sin in his life. And then Gary's been trying to provide biblical light to his grandson. Well, his grandson of all of a sudden is facing some consequences. And he's like, oh, Grandpa, I realize now you said something really important. Now, yes, there you can provide instructions. God knows this. God does it all the time. There's two ways to learn. You can be instructed, or you can learn the hard way. Yeah, experience. And experience is a very hard teacher, usually, when it's in rebellion to God's command and you face the consequences. Now, experience can be a wonderful teacher when it's the living out of the reality of God's truth in this world. How do you gain experience? By practice. Okay, so there's good experience. You understand that. All right, we need to help in every way our children to know the why, the biblical why of the instructions that you're giving them. So one day they can have the light of the discernment of God's word to make the choices on their own. If all they ever know is thus saith dad in the home, and dad has a gazillion and one rules to hem them in on every corner, once they're out from under dad, they have no discernment. And it's their mind and heart are still dark. Why is it that we have to, in our country, continue to make all kinds of laws? Well, some would say because the tyrants want to get their way, and there's maybe some truth to that, okay? But the less a young person has the ability to discern right and wrong, the more he has to be hemmed in by law to protect those who are innocent because they don't get it. They can't figure it out. Our founding father said, John Adams said, this country is only given to a moral people. This form of government can only survive and exist with a moral people, people that are already enlightened with truth. Parents, that's your role. Now, that means you work with the child as they develop and grow to know when to provide the whys and the wherefores, when they're teachable and ready for it. Some kids ask the why questions and sincerely. I mean, they have the ability to grasp and understand the why at a lot younger age than some others. Does that mean the slower ones are dumber? It does not mean that. God develops them in different ways. You better be ready. You need to be a student of your children. Know them so well that you're prepared and ready to provide the why so that they can think with you through the process of why this would not be good or why this is good. And you better have some biblical reason to give them, not just because you think your thinking is good. Because they'll come to the point where they say, well, if it's all based on dad or mom's thinking, well, I can think too, and I can figure out myself, and they'll think wrongly. Where does the authority lie? Where is the power? It's in God and his word. And they need to be able to be willing to submit to that. So you need to provide instructions that will open up their eyes to truth. And then that second point here, purposeful, the end of verse 23. The commandment is law, is a lamp, the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. The word reproofs there is, it has the idea that you reprove them for the purpose of disciplining their life. There's the purpose of the reproof, and again, it's not so it makes your life easy, but so you actually discipline or train them to get into good and right habits. I was, this just popped into my head right now, like many of my illustrations, hang on, all right? This morning, I was the one, usually Abby's the one that goes in, and the kids, it's a delightful thing for me. I'm usually up, and then the kids will wake up, and they're just singing away in their room, or they're getting their clothes on, and then they start having fun. Anyways, delightful. But I was the one that walked into the room today, and they were all, you know, they're on their beds, they're dressed, their beds are made, they're ready to go for mom and dad to come in. I was going to say it funny, but never mind, I won't say it. Anyways, so I walk in, and they've been having a great time, and I said to Drew and Dory, I said, Drew and Dory, you know, it would really be good if you started your day with prayer. And Drew picked up on it, right? Yeah, that's true, Dad, we should. He said, why don't you, you know, maybe you and Drew, as you guys are getting ready for the day, why don't you stop? Maybe one of the first things after you know your sister's awake, and why don't you stop and pray together and ask the Lord to help you today? So those little brief moments, just like that, it was a reproof, not a mean one, and not a bad one. They weren't doing anything wrong, but they need to grow in the Lord. They need to get into the habit, the discipline of always walking with God. And that means spending time with Him in prayer and in God's Word. It should be all this way for all Christians. Let me put it that way. Why is it that we spend time in God's Word and prayer every day? Why is it? Well, Lord willing, we understand the value of it and we cherish it and we love our Lord so much. There's just the desire to communicate with Him, just like in your dearest relationships in life. I could not think of a day without talking to Abby. She gets an earful every day. You folks are, you consider yourself blessed that you only listen to me, you know, a few times a week, all right? She gets me an earful too. I mean, I appreciate it. I love her, and I want to communicate. And that should be the desire of our hearts with our God. God should know everything that's going on in our life. It's just a natural flow of communication. That's pure, isn't that joyful? But I have to admit, there are times where life is flying, and it's because of good godly parents, because of a habit that's been established in my life for years. I've got to stop. Life has been flying, and though I started the day with prayer and some scripture reading, I didn't get it all done. I need to stop. There's this understanding from the Spirit of God in my heart and life. Anderson, you need to stop and spend some time with me. And that's the habit. That's a good habit that brings conviction. It's like I feel my day is out of whack if I haven't spent my time with the Lord. And, well, that's a pretty low motivation. No, it's not. It's the discipline of Christianity that is critical to my well-being. Do you know that there are some people, and this is hard for maybe the American mind to wrap around, maybe not, but there are some people that they get so engrossed in whatever they're doing that they will literally skip meals and not even realize it. Well, you skip enough meals, what happens? You're dead, okay? All right. There's not too many of us that driven in whatever job it is or whatever we're doing. There are a few people I've run into. It's pretty amazing. It's like, oh, by the way, Darcy is one of those. Did you eat lunch today, Darcy? I don't remember. How can you not do that? That doesn't compute in my head. Anyways, all right. Same thing spiritually. Shame on us that we could go through a day and not spend time with God. But the reality is I know that we're sinners, and I know that there's many distractions, and so if I don't have that discipline, it won't get done. And moms and dads, that starts in the home with you. You need to help your children discipline their life. Now, I'll have a little bit of fun here for a moment. I've taught lessons, all kinds of music lessons, for many, many years. I will tell you that the children that succeed are the ones that have parents that make them practice. It's just, that's the way it is. I've told you about the book that Ruth read years ago, 10 Years, 10,000 Hours. You have very few geniuses in whatever field that just naturally know it all or can do it all. No. The people that excel in whatever skill it is have spent years at doing that job. Now, that same principle applies to our spiritual life. Now, I trust that as there's all kinds of things that you need to teach your children discipline in. And parents, it's your role to provide reproofs of instruction because they are the way of life, not the way of death. You want a successful child? Well, why don't you give them a great start? Now, they have a walk with the Lord. They're responsible to God. I understand all those things, all right? But you'd better lay the good foundation, all right? So purposefully, you need to think through what you're doing with your kids. Don't just handle it by a whim. And help them discipline their life in every area. And God will give them the foundation on which they can build a prosperous life with God. Much of my spiritual life has to be because I had a mom and dad who helped me discipline my heart and mind so that I would follow the Lord. And so in many ways, I'm eternally grateful to godly parents who've helped me do that. Praise God, all right? So let us continue that process, all right? Point number 5. Parental instruction needs to provide spiritual safety. Here's your blank. And that's really the jump-off point here in the instructions that Solomon is giving to his son. Listen to my instructions because it'll keep you from the wicked woman. All right? The end of verse 23, I just quoted it again, but the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. As you walk through Scripture, life is connected with, and we're talking about the fullness of life, eternal life, profitable life on earth, all of that. That's all wrapped up in that word life. You walk through this passage of Scripture, and those that follow the Lord are in the way of life. We have eternal life because of our Savior. We enjoy fullness of this life, pleasures eternally because of walking in the way of life, all right? So parents, provide spiritual safety for your children. Those of you that have children that are grown and gone, you understand this, but you can't control them the rest of their life. And you need to provide the spiritual protection in their life so that when they're out on their own, they'll stay within the parameters and they'll be safe with the Lord. And I will tell you, my older children aren't perfect just like their dad, all right? And so there are things that I pray for them about. But I will tell you that it rejoices my heart as a dad to be able to say, God, all right, they know your word. And they're growing in understanding. Would you protect them? Keep them from going off the rails, Lord. Help them in this decision. I mean, sometimes as the older person, you're just like, well, duh, this is an easy one. Why don't you, this is the way to go. But I can't say that. Listen, big son-in-law. I'll tell you what to do. That wouldn't go over well, all right? Bonk, bonk, bonk on father-in-law. So you pray, and it provides the spiritual safety. And what a joy to be able to lean on the Lord. So parents, do that. Get your children within the parameters of God's word so as they grow mature, they make decisions within the limits of God's word, not stepping outside of the limits of God's word. So as he goes on, verse 24, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, lust not after her beauty. You see, if that son is following his father's instructions, all the discipline he's given, all the truth of God's word he's given, it will keep him, even when he's not at home. When you can't guard everything that's going on in their life, God can help guard them because they've learned to follow the Lord. And that's our goal. That's our goal as parents. All right, point number 6, and we'll be done. Parental instruction needs to be God's wisdom. Moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas even. It's really, really important that as you instruct your children, that it's not just to make life convenient for you or to save you face. Those are not God's wisdom. That's really self-centered. I want my kid to be good so I'm not embarrassed about him. That's a wrong motivation, and it'll lead to legalism, what I would call biblical legalism in the home, all right? Biblically defined. Legalism is thrown out all the time, but defined biblically, it leads to a tyrant in the home. It's really important that you check yourself to make sure that what you're instructing is the way of the Lord. Verses 1 through 5 of chapter 7. My son, keep my words, lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Now, if you remember, we turn here and we understand this connection between God's wisdom and the instruction that the parents are given. And we'll see it here in just a minute. Keep it as the apple of thine eye. The word apple of thine eye, again, I referenced it before. Let me tell you this. It means to be precious, treasured. The apple of the eye, or the little man, the Hebrew is like the little man of the eye. It's something that you cherish. I remember I told you the illustration of Dory, all right? Just a little treasure to me, all right? I need to handle, my children need to love God's law that way. Verse 3, bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Moms and dads, your instruction from God's word to your children needs to be so predominant in your child's life that it's as if they had a ribbon tied around their finger that they could never miss. They would see it all the time. It's as if the very word of God was etched into the table of their thinking, their heart. And so it's always there, ready to help and give direction. That's our goal. Say unto wisdom. And so here's the connection between God's wisdom and mom's and dad's instructions. My instructions need to parallel God's wisdom. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger with flatter with her words. We get life relationships in the sense of family relationships. There's something precious even in unsaved families. You know, I'm going to stick up for my brother. I'm going to protect my little sister, those kinds of things. And those are healthy things. God's wisdom should be, by your instructions, mom and dad, so ingrained on their heart, so obvious that it's like a string on their finger, that they love it and interact with it like they would love a family member. That means it's got to be around your home all the time. What is it that your kids think about, play about, talk about, do? Is it directly connected and to the Word of God and God's wisdom? Or is it more connected to the entertainment of the world, what they're seeing on the internet and TV? Is that what drives their life? Is that the cool thing in their life? Now you say, well, they're sinners and they don't like God's word. Well, there's your job. There you go. That's why you're there, mom and dad. Give them God's wisdom so as they grow into adulthood, they will cherish the word of God like they would cherish a family member. May that be our goal. Okay, this is powerful stuff to me. And it's right there for us. May God help us as parents and grandparents to help our children and grandchildren love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, may we keep your word with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. As we guard our hearts and follow your word, may we communicate that to our children in a right and meaningful way so that they will come to love it. May our instructions be wrapped in God's truth, based on God's truth, living it out properly and applying it rightly and well. And may our children learn to love that as well. Father, we beg of you that you would help us as parents to communicate your truth rightly to the next generation. For the sake of your name, first of all, we want your testimony to thrive. For the sake of this body, we want Heritage Baptist Church to continue to thrive spiritually and not become delinquent, not fall away. For the sake of our homes and families, Lord, it would be proper and good for all of us to experience the joy of having the next generations following you, because you've used us to instruct them well. I know that we fail, we all do, and we need your grace and help in all of this, but may our hearts be passionate in obeying your truth and following what you've instructed us to do as parents, and may we carefully, kindly, firmly give out truth to our children. In your name we pray. Amen.